Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Good morning, all you plant nerds out there. It's the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscape. I am the director of horticulture there, and I am your host today, here to talk about all of your gardening-related questions. So if you guys want to give us a call or a text, 314-436-7900, that's the number to call to get all of your questions answered. Yesterday, or last night, I guess it was, I was able to hit up the open house out at the community college that we've been talking about. We had Jerry on a couple weeks ago, but last night at the community college, they had a big gathering to have everybody come out and see all their new state-of-the-art facilities. I was out there tabling for the local landscape professional group. So that's Landscape and Nursery Association of St. Louis. So we were out there spreading the word about our organization, and there were also a lot of other great people that had sponsored the event out there. So it was a good networking event. I got to talk to a lot of you guys out there. We had several people come up to the table and say hi and said that you were listeners. So all you people that we saw out there, thanks for stopping by the booth. I think I'm going to head there after the show. The second part of the event is this morning. It's happening right now. They're having a symposium with a couple of speakers this morning. So I'm hoping to head over there after the show and catch the second half. And if you guys want to do that, I'm sure you can head over there now. It starts, I believe, in a few minutes at 8:30. But it was really cool to see, you know, all of that has changed out there at the community college. When I was a student out there, 15 years ago, it was a great program, great facility. But what they have out there now is a significant change, and it's pretty incredible. And what they're doing out there is really nice to see. Really proud of where it came from and the program that it came from. And we are lucky here in St. Louis to have such a great program for horticulture. So we can keep spreading that knowledge, keep getting people educated in horticulture and gardening and design and all of those things. So really great to be there last night, and I'll be happy to go there today. We're going to go to the lines. We have Mary on the line. Mary, good morning. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, I got a Mandeville plant for Mother's Day. I repotted in a bigger pot because it was root bound, and it is glorious. But I want to know what to do with it now that it's getting ready for winter. I would like to keep it for next year. Do I leave it outside? Do I bring it in the house? I can put it underneath window in a basement. What and suggestions.
So this is a great question. I'm glad that you asked. It was something that I was hoping to talk about today. So we are, I think even last week, we are nearing, you know, our overnight temperatures are around, you know, they're getting to be around 50 degrees. I think this week coming up, we're pretty good. I think we're, you know, mid 50s into even the 60s overnight next week. But as we approach this temperature, like last night, I believe it was a low below 50, and 1 or 2 days last week, it got there. So once we get to that temperature range, we want to think about bringing our plants inside. You know, the Mandevilla is not hardy here. It's a tropical. So if it is left outside, it will most certainly freeze and die and not come back. So, you know, a lot of people just treat their Mandevilla vines as annuals. They put them out for the season, then they throw them into their garden waste, and they try again next year. But there are a lot of us out there that, you know, like to bring our plants in over the winter and, you know, keep using them the year after year. So when you do this, I think it's important for you to, before you bring that pot in, kind of inspect it for any bugs or critters. It's a great time to hose it off one final time. You know, take a mixture of water and a teeny tiny bit of some dish soap, maybe clean off those leaves. If you do see, you know, some bug infestation, it's a good time to maybe spray with some neem oil or something like that in order to get those critters off the leaves. And then you can bring them inside. Like you said, you had a window that you can put it by. So so that's a great thing. They're going to want to stay warm. They're going to want to stay in a sunny area. You know, remember, they're coming in from outside where it's been really warm and hot and sunny. So they're going to want that to continue as much as possible. I know not everybody has the sunniest spots to bring their plants in, myself included. I don't have a lot of natural light in my house, so I have everything crammed in front of a few windows, and I even set up some grow lights in my basement just so I can get a little bit of help down there. But certainly you can bring it inside. You're not going to want to necessarily water over the winter months. You know, we don't exactly want to promote growth. We just want to keep it watered, keep it alive. It is common in these situations when they're coming inside for the winter for them to drop a few leaves, even get a few yellowing leaves. But just keep some consistent watering. And again, when you bring it inside, you're not going to need to water it as much as you were when it was outside either. So you're going to likely need to reduce watering as well.
And the same hold true for a butterfly bush that's in a pot?
So a butterfly bush, if you're talking about our hardy butterfly bush, you can leave that outside. You could plant it in the ground. Those are hardy here. But you could also bring that inside if it's small and you don't want to mess with it. If it's in a smaller pot, it is sometimes can be a little bit risky to leave those outside in a smaller pot. So if you do leave something to overwinter outside, you might want to, you know, even dig a little bit of a hole, throw some mulch around the container a little bit just to help protect it, help insulate it through the freeze.
Okay, well, we're going to try to keep these alive.
You could do it. I have faith in you, Mary.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck to you. Yeah, guys, this is a great question, and it is that time. I personally haven't done it yet. I'm hoping to get it done this weekend. And, you know, it's also the time of year that my house starts to feel really small because I start bringing in I have some pretty good pot sizes of plants that come inside. So it's also the time that I get a little pushback, you know, from the other inhabitants of my household because I am kind of bringing in a lot of things from outside. But it is that time of year. Make sure you're checking everything. Like I said, we don't want to bring a bunch of bugs inside, which is, I think, mostly the concern in my household. So make sure everything is bug-free, a nice clean. Get all those cobwebs, get all the dust off from outside, and then bring those pots in. Oh, another tip, though, is if you have big pots, don't water all that soil before you bring it inside because those pots can get heavy. I know from experience. But yeah, definitely time to be checking on your containers and even starting to think about emptying out. I mean, I know that a lot of our summer containers, summer annuals, are still looking fantastic, especially if we're good at watering. So some of those summer containers are still looking fabulous. So if you've planted those and that's just seasonal interest for you, just keep those out as long as possible. Keep watering them, keep deadheading them. You know, some of mine I just keep out until, you know, that frost hits, and then I'll clean them out, or I'll start cleaning them out as they decline. And then I'm also seeing a ton of people starting to do their fall containers. You know, people have been doing that for a while, getting out your summer annuals and starting to put in your mums, your pansies, kales, ornamental grasses, things like that. So instead of, you know, saving those plants or bringing them inside, or after you save your plants and bring them inside, fill up your pot with some mums or pansies. And a great one to get right now is aster. You know, the mums aren't really beneficial for our insects and pollinators, but our native asters, which are purple and bluish, and there's some white ones, are really great this time of year for pots and for your landscape. They also help our pollinators. So we're going to go to the phone line. We have Beth on the line. Beth, go ahead with your question.
Hello. I have a, I would call it a Christmas tree that I bought many years ago, over 10 years ago at Walgreens. You know, when you check out, they have a little Christmas plant.
Sure.
And it is almost 5 feet tall.
Oh, my goodness.
I have transplanted it. It's beautiful. I have no space in the house to put it, so I put it out on the patio all summer long for the first time. I mean, it's in the biggest pot. I can't even tell you. If it's 5 foot tall, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with it. I don't even think I could bring it in and put it with a grow light in the basement. I'm thinking it will not survive in the ground. Is that correct?
Well,
I just don't want to kill it. I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I don't know what the plant is. Do you know what kind of evergreen it is?
I don't. It's not a sticky one like a Christmas tree, or, you know, a hardy one like you would buy. The leaves are softer, but it's literally like somebody's going into Walgreens. I want to take a gift somewhere, and you buy it, and it had little ornaments on there.
Sure.
And I've seen them other places that people are still keeping them growing, but mine has gotten so tall. I guess I could try to, could I cut it down?
But
it's an odd shape too. I don't even know. I just don't even know.
So it's hard for me to tell you because I don't know what it is. And they often will have like a type of evergreenish kind of plant that may not be hardy here. You know, I have seen, you know, little spruce trees or little arborvitae that would be hardy here. So, but it's hard to tell without seeing it what kind of plant it is. If you want to try to identify it, you could, you know, potentially download one of these plant ID apps and see if you can figure out what kind of plant it is or what kind of tree. As far as pruning it, a lot of evergreens don't respond well to big pruning, but you could try. So what I'm hearing is that you can't bring it inside with it being so big. So you can either leave it outside and risk it and see if it is hardy, or you can prune it and try to bring it inside and risk it and see if it's prunable and that it takes that pruning. So I think either way, the other option is, I don't know if you have a garage or something like that, if you can keep it in a semi-heated garage and maybe put a grow light on it or something like that. But, you know, either way, everything's a science experiment anyway. So, you know, if you're willing to take, you know, a risk or a chance with it, and the alternative is to get rid of it, you know, you might just give it a try.
It's like wavier, but the best thing I can say is I just bought it at Walgreens and I was decorating it, and then it got bigger and bigger and bigger. It is literally over 10 years old. It's beautiful. People say, is that same plant? I say, yes. So I might try the garage.
Well,
idea.
Try it out. And if you can't identify it, you can always find me on Facebook and post a picture and I can try to identify it for you. If you look me up on Facebook, it's at STL Plant Nerd. And that could be a way for you to, I could look at it and see if I can identify it for you and get you some better advice.
It's actually thriving outside, believe it or not.
Like, I bet it is.
And it's like, not in the sun, and then I water it, I feel like it's dry. It's just,
Yeah.
It drains out of the bottom, but I'm like, I just hate to, I'm not going to kill it. I'm not going to let it go. But
yeah, I think it's worth a try. I think the main thing is to try to identify what it is first. If you can get some ID happening, then you'll know how to either prune it or if it's hardy outside.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, good luck. Thanks for the call, Beth. We're going to take a quick break, guys. This is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Your calls can be answered at 314-436-7900. We're back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am the Director of Horticulture at Pointer Landscape here in St. Louis, and I'm also the host of this fine gardening hotline. If you guys want to call and ask your questions, 314-436-7900. You can also text that number if you're too shy to call in and chat with me. But we're going to go straight to the phone lines right now. We got Mike on the line. Mike, what's your question?
Yes, I have loblolly pines lining my driveway, and we're wondering if this is the time of year to start pruning some of the limbs off of the bottom.
So right this very second is not a great time. Right now we're really, I don't typically recommend a ton of pruning at this time of year on anything. I like to wait if you can, especially if it's not, you know, like an emergency corrective pruning job. Typically, we wait until they go dormant a little bit so you can do them, you know, later this winter. Typically, I like to prune late winter into early spring while it's still dormant before it kind of breaks that dormancy. So you can really do it. You could do it now is the answer to the question. It's not really going to do that much damage other than we want that tree to take in as much energy from photosynthesis down into their roots right now. So you could wait, you know, a month or so after we get our first big frost and then do some pruning or really any time over the winter months.
So you're defining late winter as a month after the first frost.
Late winter to me is like February time frame. So it's before the last frost, because the last frost typically indicates like the start of a growing the growing season. So before, you know, any time before that last frost. So I always think about my dormant pruning a lot in February, March, depending on weather. You know, like you can kind of pay attention to what things are doing and you know, just a few weeks before everything starts kind of getting active again is when I like to do my pruning.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck. All right. Up next, we have Mimi on the line. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. I had a question about taking care of plants before you bring them into the house. I heard what you had said earlier. Someone had told me about adding a mixture of peroxide to water to the roots of a plant that you had planned on bringing into the house to kill any kind of microbes in the soil. It was a combination of peroxide, a little bit of Dawn, and water. Is that safe for the plants to do that, add peroxide? I think it was like a cup of peroxide to, I think it was a one-to-one kind of preparation.
Yeah, people do that. Definitely good to get the good mix on that. So you don't want to have too much of that peroxide. I'm trying to think what I remember. I do believe that I think that when I had done it last, you can do either one part of that of your standard like hydrogen peroxide with four parts of water for the soil. And then if you're really trying to do like a sterilization of like a drench of the soil, you could do that one-to-one. And then you kind of pour it on there until the water is like really soaked. And you want to make sure this is important that you have these pots have drain holes because we don't want it to all just sit in there. We want to make sure the pot that you're doing this kind of this treatment on is definitely got drain holes in it. So you're pouring water in. You want to completely soak the soil and then kind of let that any excess drain out.
So what was the preparation again, 4-to-1?
You could do 1 to 4 with one part of hydrogen peroxide, and that's okay. just a, okay. a typical kind of solution for pest control. And then if you're doing the drench in the soil, you can do one part of the peroxide to one part of water. That's really okay. beneficial to help any kind of like fungus gnats or algae or anything like that.
I think the reason I was thinking of doing it is last year I had quite a few spiders come in and unexpectedly,
sure.
and I thought, well, maybe this year I'm going to cut that down. So
yeah.
I would try that.
And okay. and if you're wanting to like just be, you know, a little bit more, you know, cautious, that one part water to you know, 3 or 4 parts of the, or one part of the hydrogen peroxide to 3 to 4 parts of that. You know, could be just a gentler mix if you have more sensitive plants.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
And I had one other question. I had an area along the driveway that just got away from me weed-wise after we had such a dry period. I kept thinking, oh, I'm going to weed this area when we get some rain, but we haven't had it. And would it be necessary at this time to, I'm going to mulch it with leaves from that I cut from the lawnmower and mulch that area. Do I need to get all the weeds out at this point or just heavily mulch it?
So that's a great question. It's going to depend on what kind of weeds are over there. And if they have weed seeds, if there's seed heads on them, if there are seed heads on them, we definitely don't want to leave behind any kind of seed. So getting rid of the seed head by either cutting it off. And then it also depends on, is this an annual weed? Is it a weed that's going to die and not come back, or only comes back from the seeds that it produces? If that's the case, then just throwing some mulch over the top is fine. If it's a type of weed that grows back from the roots, it's a perennial weed, those would be a weed that you would need to remove. You know, the mulch can suppress those. They can kill those depending on what type they are. But it is also likely for a lot of the weeds, just because you put that mulch over the top, if they have a deep taproot and they're established, they can still come back on some of our perennial weeds. So again, so that question, I mean, I don't know if that was as helpful, but some weeds, yes, you can just cover with mulch. But definitely the biggest thing for me would be checking to see if they'd gone to seed or not, because you're just burying those seeds and they're
right.
just going to be under there.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think there's a combination. So I'll go look through there and get some out. It's just not the best time to be pulling up weeds at this point. It's so dry.
I know, it's so dry. It's the worst pulling yeah. weeds when it's this dry, for sure.
Right. But thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for your call. Okay, we're going to take one quick question and then we'll go to break. Ray, you're on the line. Go ahead with your question.
Good morning.
Hi.
I don't know the right name to this plant, but it's not an iris, but it's the real thin stem, and then it gets a stem with a white flower on it. I call it yucca plant.
Okay.
A friend of mine had some dug up, and can those be replanted?
So
I took some and wanted to put them in my yard.
Yeah, so yucca, if it is yucca, has a really deep taproot. And it can sometime, if it's a really established plant, it can be hard to transplant those yuccas. You could certainly try. If it's a younger plant, it's really easy because they haven't necessarily had time to establish such a deep taproot. So you can definitely do it. If it were me, I would probably wait until the spring to try it, just to give it a little bit better chance. There are a ton of plants that I like to transplant now. We're getting a little late in the season for transplanting perennials anyway. So I think if you're going to try to do it, if you can wait till the spring to do it, but if you have to do it now, you can definitely try. You're going to want to try to get a deep root ball in that so you can get as much of that taproot as you can.
But they dug them up and they got some of the roots with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big root, and they're an older plant.
Yep. Well, it's worth a try. I mean,
I thought they grow. I thought they growed on top of the ground, and most of the time you see the ball of the root on top. And I didn't know how deep you would plant.
Yeah, you would want, if it's yucca, you just want the bottom of that plant to just kind of be resting on the top and then everything else underground. So you don't want any of those leaves at all underground. So, but yeah, give it a try. If it's already out of the ground, dig a hole and see what you get. But thanks for your call, Ray. We're going to take a quick break. 314-436-7900 is the number to call or text with your questions. 1041 KMOX.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
We're back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, your host for today, and I am the director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape and Construction here in St. Louis. Number to call or text to ask your question, 314-436-7900. In fact, the text line is super popular, so if you got a text in, I'm going to try to answer them in between phone calls. So we're going to answer a couple of them really quickly. They're kind of related. So one question says, I have several canna lilies in large pots. Do I need to bring those inside in the garage or in the basement, or how do I clean off the bulbs to store them? So great question on things like bulbs that are coming inside or needing to come inside. Things like canna can, if they're planted in the ground and we don't have a harsh winter, those cannas can come back, but don't go planting them in the ground now. They do better if they're already established going into winter. So if you have your cannas in a pot, for sure, bring them in. You can even wait on the cannas till after we have a first frost and they kind of start to melt away before you bring those in. And again, you can bring them into the garage as long as the garage isn't going to freeze, on those super cold nights over the winter. We just don't want those pots to freeze up. You can bring them into the basement. You're going to let them go dormant and do their thing in the pot. You're not going to mess with them at all. And then in the spring, as things start to come back to life, you can bring those back out. And then we also just had a couple other questions about bringing tropicals in. I know at the beginning of the show, we talked about it a little bit, but if you have plants outside, you're just tuning in, it is time. It is time. This week coming up, we have some good overnight temperatures, but in the next week or so, definitely get those plants inside or you're going to be really sad. We were just talking during the break that I am notoriously bad. I always say I'm going to bring those plants in and then I forget and then I'm sad because I have a bunch of brown things in pots on my patio. So get to those when you can. Ken is on the line. Ken, go ahead with your question.
Yes, good morning. Our daughter gave us several olive trees several years ago. We started them and grew them, and they're about 5 feet tall now. We have them outside for the summer. What do we do with them now?
What have you been doing with them in the last 5 years? Several years, or they're new to you?
She gave us young plants.
Oh, young plants. Okay,
5 inches tall.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, so you're gonna want to bring those inside. The olive trees are definitely not hardy here. So this will just be like any other plant that we're bringing in from outside. Again, we're going to want to inspect it for critters. We're going to want to clean it off and then bring that inside and try to keep it in a bright location. You're going to keep it watered over the wintertime, just like you would any other houseplant. But this is definitely one I would bring inside. I mean, you could, I guess, technically keep it in a heated garage. You're going to definitely want to have that, have some light of some kind, though. So if you keep it in a garage or a basement, you'll definitely want to get a grow light to help it through the winter. But less watering than you would when it's outside, but just as much light as you can get it.
Very good. Thank you.
Hope that helps. Up next, we have Joyce. Joyce, go ahead with your question.
Good morning, everyone. I don't have a question, but I have a suggestion for all of my gardeners out there. For years, I have done this, and it absolutely 100% works, is I give everything, a baby shampoo bath.
Okay,
and I don't really have a ratio of, you know, how much baby shampoo. I just put it in the spring and summer, I put it in my hose and sprayer, maybe a fourth of a cup.
Sure.
Of baby shampoo. And any baby shampoo will work. It doesn't have to be a name brand. And I spray everything with it. And it absolutely 100% works. It's not toxic. All the things that we all are concerned about these days with the environment. And also, when I bring my plants in for the winter, I do that same thing. I give them the baby shampoo bath. And I'll even keep a bottle of baby shampoo, that mixture. And if I've missed any critters or if something's hiding in there, then and I see them, I just give them a little spritz of the baby shampoo bath, and it absolutely 100% works. Like I said, it's not toxic. It's just, I learned this many years ago from a guy on, I think it's called a green gardener. But anyway, as I said, I have been doing this for years. It works. You can't go wrong, and everybody's happy. So anyway, that's my tip.
Thanks, Joyce. I appreciate that so much. So basically, Joyce is saying she's got a hose-in sprayer. You know, you can get those at any of your garden centers, and you can fill in with whatever, you know, sometimes it's, you know, Miracle-Gro has one in their brand, but there's different fertilizers, or in this case, she's saying she put her baby soap in there, and then the water comes through, and then she just hoses off all of her plants, and then she has a separate sprayer that has a little bit of a mixture of her baby shampoo in a little sprayer with water. You can do that with a lot of different mild liquid soaps. And then you can do, you know, 1 to 2 teaspoons of that in a spray bottle. You know, maybe it's a quart spray bottle or something like that. If it's a little bit bigger, obviously you can do some more. But that is a great tip. Joyce, thanks for calling in with that. Up next, we're going to go to George. George, you're on the line. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, Michelle. I got some discounted trees that I've been saving until the fall to normally plant, but it's been so dry, I don't know if I'm better off putting them in the ground now or just keep watering them until we start getting some rain in the forecast?
So first of all, I love that you're buying the discounted plants. That's like my, it's my love language. If they can survive on the discount rack or the clearance rack, I'm pretty sure they can survive at my house. So I love that. But yeah, so as far as planting right now, it is a great time to plant. I'm going to say two things. You can either water them in the pot to keep them alive, or you're going to water them in the ground to keep them alive. And when you get them into the ground, they're going to start establishing their roots. They're going to get comfy in their home going into winter. And, you know, like hopefully we're in a little cooler weather pattern by next week. We're supposed to get a little bit of rain. So for me, you're watering either way. But if I'm watering them, I want to be also contributing to their health. And I think getting them into the ground and letting them start getting those roots stretched out is probably a better option than keeping them in the pots. And again, you can wait a couple weeks. You can wait a month before you plant them. You still have plenty of time. So, but I would get them in the ground as soon as you can.
Thank you.
Yep. Good luck with that, George. All right, guys, we're going to take another break. I know you're all just super excited about that. But when we come back, we'll get to more of your questions, more of your texts, 314-436-7900. This is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. The Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscape and the host of this fine Garden Hotline, 314-436-7900 is the number to call. We have a quick segment here before we hit our long break, so we'll just take a couple of quick questions. I'm going to answer one of the texts or just read one of the texts. It goes back to one of our callers. So if Beth is still listening, she called in about the little Christmas tree that she bought from Walgreens. And we had a text that said, "I bet it's a Norfolk pine." So that was from Glenn. So Beth, if you're still listening, get on the Google and type in Norfolk pine and see if that's what you got there. And if that is the case, that guy is not hardy. So you're going to want to definitely bring that in. And I think that you can give that a little bit of a haircut, but check that out and see if that is what you have. We're going to go to the phone. We got Rick on the line. Rick, go ahead with your question.
This may be quick as well. You had a caller earlier talking about tree planting. Now, I had a question similar that we have some tall grasses. We're trying to relocate them to some different spots in the yard. Is it still okay, the timing wise, to replant those tall grasses?
I like this question, and I'm gonna ask you a question back. Do you know what kind of grasses you have?
No, I don't. We've got a whole bunch of them down along this hillside, and they're probably 4 to 5 feet tall with the big.
Sure. So the reason I ask is just like our turf grass, our ornamental grasses are cool. They're cool season grasses and there are warm season grasses. So if you have a cool season grass, right now is a great time to pop those out, transplant, separate them. If it is a warm season grass, it is not a great time, and you should wait until the springtime once things start warming up and just as they're coming out of dormancy and putting on that new growth. So I think, you know, trying to figure out what kind of grass that is, and if it's the size that you're talking about, it could be something like a miscanthus, it could be a switchgrass. So those are probably the two most common. So if you want to look at pictures of either of those, a miscanthus or a switchgrass, and determine which one of those that you have. The miscanthus is a warm season grass, and I believe switchgrass is cool. So if you had one, it would be a great time to do it. And if you had the other, it could really struggle through the winter months. So identify what kind of grass you have, and I think that's going to be the start of figuring out the answer to your question.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck with that. Let's go to the text since we just have a little bit of time. So I have a question and it says, can you recommend a pond builder for a small to medium size residential koi pond? Looking for a natural look with lots of boulders and rocks. And I'll say I do have some recommendations, but one of the things that I would recommend is going to the Water Garden Society, the St. Louis Water Garden Society. I think that's SLWGS.org. There's a lot of information out there for ponds and pond builders. They even have a tour called the Pondorama that happens, I believe, in June. So check that out. There's a ton of information there. You guys are listening to the Garden Hotline. 314-436-7900 is the number to call. This is KMOX 104.1. Welcome back to the second hour of the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, and I am a horticulturist, the director of horticulture, in fact, for Pointer Landscape here in St. Louis. And I am your host of the Garden Hotline, 314-436-7900. It's the number to call to ask me your questions about anything garden related. You know, we've already had a great mix of calls today, talking a lot about fall and about bringing our plants in and about planting and all of that good stuff. So we're going to continue that conversation with Bill. Bill, go ahead with your call. You're on the line. Thanks for your patience as well.
Michelle, the question I have is I'm going to bring the mandevilla that I have in the ground in. As you suggested. I guess two questions. I presume I have to cut it back. I'm just curious how much. And then I'm going to put it in a three-season room, which typically gets pretty cold, but not freezing. And I'm wondering, it gets a lot of light there. So I'm wondering whether that would be a good place to put it.
Yeah, so great questions. So as far as cutting it back, it's just going to depend on what you have space accommodations for, how big is it to start with. I suspect probably giving it a little bit of a haircut is probably going to be needed if it's been growing in the ground all summer. So it's probably, I suspect, a pretty decent size. So that's going to be really up to you to, you know, how big do you want to bring it in? And then you're going to, you know, once you get it in the pot, you know, bringing it inside is going to, you know, a sunroom or a three-season room, I assume it's got a lot of sunlight. Mandevilla do want it to be, you know, a little bit warmer. But again, as long as it doesn't freeze, it's going to be those overnight temperatures. So if it's, you know, pretty cold in there overnight, it may struggle. It may not like it in there. One of the reasons why we're bringing it inside now is because it's getting colder. So if it's staying above 50 degrees, which is that threshold that we're wanting to bring it inside, our overnight temperatures at 50. So if you can maintain an overnight temperature of 50 degrees, I think that it will continue to do well. You know, does it drop down a little bit here and there? It probably will be okay, but I think that it's going to struggle a bit if it does drop below that temperature. So if it's that cold in there, I would maybe try to put it in a warmer spot.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, hope that helps. Thanks for your call, Bill. We are going to go to a text next, and that rhymed. We got a question about leaf mulch and our bananas. You know, it's not a show if we don't talk about the banana trees. So this is a question. It says, please define leaf mulch. Can I just rake leaves up and cover my banana plants, or do I need to mulch them with a lawnmower or purchase enriched leaf mulch? This is a great question. You know, we always talk about these banana trees this time of year. And leaf mulch, typically, like when we talk about leaf as a mulch, it is typically a product that you can purchase. St. Louis Composting here has really great leaf mulch or leaf compost that you can buy that's already ground up for you. It's relatively inexpensive, but you do have to buy it in bulk. So sometimes sometimes can be difficult to get that back if you don't have a pickup truck or something to haul it in. I think they do deliver, but you don't need that much for your banana tree. So basically, when your banana starts going dormant, it's going to melt back. You're going to wait till it melts back before you cut it back. And then you want to, put some kind of leaf litter over the top. You can put just your plain leaves. The big thing is that you really want it to be a lot. So if you just pile up you just rake over a few leaves, that's not going to be sufficient enough. You'll have to have a heavy pile of leaves. So as long as you are able to get a heavy pile of leaves, I know some people I've seen use some kind of like a fencing. They make a circle around it and then really pile in their leaves so they can really get it compacted. So just as long as you get a really good layer, a heavy layer of leaves or straw or something like that, that's all it's gonna need. Again, there are products you can buy, like a leaf compost, and you can also, use your lawnmower to mulch up those leaves. So great question about the banana plant. One of these days I might get one and plant in the ground just so I can have some firsthand knowledge to bring back to you guys. But always a fun one to talk about, that banana. So up next, we're going to talk to Terry. Terry, you're on the line. Go ahead with your question.
Good morning. I have two questions. One, I was given a fig plant. It's about 2 feet tall. It's in about a 2 or 3 gallon pot right now. How do you care for that?
Do you know what kind of fig it is?
No, I don't.
Most of the time, I mean, we have figs here. In fact, I have been, I don't even want to say that I'm tired of figs, but I've been eating a lot of figs lately because my tree, this is my second season with it, is just loaded up, with figs. So depending on the type of fig that you have, there are some hardy varieties. I have the Chicago hardy fig at my house. It does really well here. But not all figs are hardy in our area. So number one, if it is a type of fig that you can plant in the ground and it can overwinter here, that would be great to get outside and give it, get it in the ground. And figs that I deal with that with my clients typically will die back on the top, and they are just root hardy. So they grow back every year. So I know a lot of people will protect their figs, just like they do the bananas we were just talking about, protecting the crown. So if you're going to put it in the ground, you can do that little bit of mulch or protection over the top and get it through the winter. If you are bringing
it in the shade or
full sun. Full sun. Fig will want okay. Full sun. They'll do their best in full sun. I think they can take a lot of shade. It's actually a really cool looking plant. So if you can put it in the landscape, it actually is really cool. It's got a big chunky leaf. It's not something that you typically see in the landscape. So it's pretty cool. So if you have like a variety that's hardy, I would say get it in the ground and protect it. Otherwise, you'll want to bring it in just like anything else. You want to bring it inside, bring it into a garage that doesn't freeze, bring it into a basement, and it's going to go dormant. You'll probably just want to cut it back to, a few inches, and then keep it from freezing over winter. Check on it once a month and see how it's doing. And then once spring gets here, you can bring it back out. So, again, I would try to see if you can figure out if you have a plant tag or something that can help you identify what variety it is, so you can make sure that it's something that's going to live outside. But yeah.
My second question is, when is the best time to trim maple branches?
So maple branches, you can, if you're just doing like one or two and it's an established tree, you can, pretty much do it whenever. If you're doing more of a larger pruning, I would wait till it's dormant. Again, right now, I keep talking about we're going into fall. I'm not doing a lot of pruning right now. I just want to have my tree have as much energy going down into the roots. Anytime you make a cut on a tree, you're basically asking it to make more or to heal itself. So we don't want that tree to spend its energy on healing a cut. We want it to send its energy and spend its energy getting ready for winter. So if you can wait a few weeks, wait a month till we're in dormant, or even better, wait until, you know, February timeframe, even January if it's not frozen, and do that kind of pruning then.
I was told that a lot of sap runs during the winter in maple trees. Is that just for sugar maple or for all maples?
It's all maples will have that. So if it's a warmer day in the winter, you'll definitely have some sap running, so which can open up to pests and diseases. So, you know, just be careful of that, those time frames where the sugar's running. And it's typically when things are really starting to warm up and the tree's been dormant. So I like to do it before all of those sugars are getting moving. And that's when it's breaking dormancy, right? So it's moving all that water because it's warming up and it's starting to move all that sugar. So you wanna do it before then.
So in the dead of winter when it's super cold.
Yeah, I like January, February for that kind of, before it gets warm. Or just wait a few more weeks. If you just wait a few more weeks till after it goes dormant, you can do it as well.
Okay, yep. Great. Thank you very much.
Yep, thank you. All right. Any calls, any questions, 314-436-7900. That's the number to call to ask me anything that is just on your mind about your garden or plants or fall, or just to say hello. You are listening to the Garden Hotline on KMOX 104.1, the voice of St. Louis.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
It's the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am your host today. I am the Director of Horticulture here in St. Louis for Pointer Landscape, and I'm here answering all of your garden-related questions this morning. If you have a question you want to talk about, 314-436-7900, that's a number to call to chat with me about your garden. You know, there is a pretty cool event happening tomorrow. Just wanted to mention that. If you guys are into sustainability and native plants, which I know you are, but there is an event. It's called a Fall Fest, and it is in Creve Coeur tomorrow from 10 to 2. It's a great event. It's going to be presented by the Sustainable Backyard Network, Open Space St. Louis, and the Nature Partners Foundation. It's a free event. It's open to everybody. They have a ton of vendors for your native plants, for wildflowers and grasses and shrubs and all of that good stuff. You can get more information about that if you want to go. I'm going to try to stop by. But it's gardenchapelsanctuary.org, or you could probably just Google Fall Fest Sustainability and Plant Sale, and it will get you there. I know I saw it making its rounds on Facebook, so it is out there. But great event tomorrow to get your native plants from some local vendors. I know a lot of people are always asking, where do you get local or where do you get native plants? Right now, there are so many events around town, so many fall events in general, but a lot of plant-related events happening, and this one is a cool one, the Fall Fest in Creve Coeur. Again, go to gardenchapelsanctuary.org, and we're going to go to the phone line, and we're going to talk to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Hello. I love your program.
Thank you.
Anyway, I have night blooming cirrus. I've only been able to have them bloom once, and I'm getting ready to bring them in. I never really cut them back severely. They're huge. I have had them for 35 years, and I got them from an elderly woman who had them for a long time before that. What is the clue, and how should I maintain them? They're overrunning my house, and I promised her I would keep them.
I now am very nervous to answer this. It seems like there's a lot riding on this answer. So I honestly, to be quite honest with you, I'm not really that familiar with these guys. I think they're super cool, and I don't want to tell you, because you just told me this backstory. I don't want to tell you, the wrong answer for this, but I do know, that you can prune them, and they can be super unruly. And then you could also, do you have them like trellised up or anything like that?
No. Well, I have a few. Yes, I have a few fake metal stakes in it with a flower on the top.
Okay. Yeah.
That I kind of let them be in there, like hoping that they will mimic this. I don't know. They're such a fragrant flower when they bloom, a beautiful flower. But, you know, like all these one-time bloomers, they it's hard to get it to bloom.
So most of the time on these kinds of things, pruning is best done after a flower finishes blooming, right? So, okay. These guys bloom in the spring. Is that correct? Or are they blooming in multiple times a year? Do you remember?
I saw hers bloom in the summer.
Okay.
And that's when I got these plants from her. She had to get rid of all her plants.
Yeah.
And
So number one, we want to not prune if you have flower buds. That's kind of just an overall rule. So if you see any flower buds on there, I would avoid it. I believe that this plant prefers to be doing most of its pruning right after it blooms. If I remember correctly, it's early spring. And you definitely want to, you know, like make sure everything's clean when you're doing it. That's one of the easiest ways to spread disease. You know, a lot of times people will be like, well, my plant had issues and it was right after pruning and maybe you had some other gunk or some disease on it. So make sure you're using clean tools every time you do anything like that, especially if it's, you know, this high value.
Is an alcohol wipe sufficient on your pruner?
Perfect. Yeah, alcohol wipe. You can even use like a Lysol spray or something like that. But
okay.
Definitely.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, definitely keep those tools clean. So, but again, I would wait until spring to do that.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Good luck. Call us back and let us know how it goes. Thanks for your call. Okay. Up next, we're going to read a text that came in. It says, good morning. My question is, I bought two very small trees and planted them in the spring of 2024. A dogwood whose trunk is about two pencils thick and a colorful leaved redbud that turned out to be more like a vine. The dogwood trunk was mostly dead this spring, but a new branch came out of the very bottom. Can I take off the rest of the trunk? My other question is, how much should I water them over the winter? So these are great questions. Oftentimes when we plant a new tree and they can struggle and, you know, maybe that main tree died and it will send up a new sucker. So, you know, I know people that are like immediately, no, we want to get rid of that and try over. You know, there are some other adventurous gardeners that are like, sure, what the heck, why not? Let's see what happens. So will that thing grow? Probably. You know, I don't know if this tree was grafted. I don't know if this is going to be a shoot coming up that was the same exact plant that that you bought, or if it was on grafted root material. And you might have a different type of, I can't remember, redbud or the dogwood coming up. But you can absolutely cut off that dead part of the trunk and see what happens. And then as far as winter watering, I love this question. We've been talking the last few weeks on watering. We still need to be doing that, guys. By the way, it's still very, very dry out in the world. Still going to be dry for the foreseeable future. So definitely watering now. Our plants are not dormant yet, so they really need deep, slow waterings. And then as far as this winter watering goes, I pretty much consider winter watering when temperatures are consistently, you know, our highs are, you know, around 40 degrees or so. That's winter watering to me. So when that occurs, when trees are dormant, you're basically going to want to check on those once or twice a month. It's also going to depend, is this an established tree? Is it a new tree like our texter is talking about? You know, new trees need a little bit more care and just looking after because they can dry out. They're not as established. They can't take drier periods as long as a more established tree can. So once or twice a month over the winter, especially if we stay in this dry pattern, especially if we don't have a rain event or snow. Snow is actually really great for watering in the winter because as it melts, it waters our trees and shrubs slowly and hopefully, you know, a really thorough, deep watering as it melts. So snow is a great thing. But once or twice a month when you have new trees, even shrubs, you should be checking on those. If we don't have enough natural precipitation, you know, trees typically need, they say, around 10 gallons of water for every inch of the tree's diameter. So you have a small tree, I would be making sure it's getting, you know, five gallons or so once a month, maybe twice a month if it's still dry. You know, most of the time in the wintertime, I always recommend watering in the middle of the day. A lot of times, you know, we're saying water in the morning during the growing season. In the wintertime, I like to wait a little bit just in case the ground froze overnight, just to give it a chance to thaw out a little bit. But definitely super important. I know we're seeing a lot of trees struggling this year. We saw a lot of trees struggling last year because we had a fall drought going into the winter and then some warmer, drier. February this year was really warm. So making sure when we typically aren't thinking about watering, when our irrigation systems are off, our new trees and shrubs still need to be checked on. So Great question from our texter. Thanks for that call. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to some folks that have been waiting. If you want to call with your questions, we still got about a half an hour left to answer questions. 314-436-7900, the Garden Hotline, KMOX 1041, the Voice of St. Louis. It's the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am your host today. I'm also the Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape and Construction, and I'm here answering all of your garden questions. Well, I'm here for maybe 20 more minutes, but I can answer as many questions as I can in that time. We got a lot of people waiting. If you want to call, if you want to text, we're going to try to get to your questions. The text line is pretty long, so you might have to wait till next week if you have a text. But 314-436-7900 is that number. We're going to go to the phones now. We're going to talk to Jim. Jim, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, Michelle, two quick questions. I don't know how versed you are on lawns, but earlier this summer, or later this summer, actually, I usually use Milarganite, but instead I used, it's the same thing. It's, I guess, chicken manure. The numbers on it are 16-2-3, and it really did a great job. And I was wondering if that would be something to use as a winterizer too, or not necessarily.
So this is a great question. And you're right, I'm not super well versed on our turf questions. In fact, at the event I was at last night, I ran into Glenn Kramer, and it was actually the first time I'd ever met Glenn, who's on the show from GR Robinson Seed. He's, you know, just our local expert on grass and turf and all of that stuff. So I did beg him last night to come and rescue me from these lawn care questions. So Glenn should be back soon. We're going to reach out, hopefully set a date for him to come and talk to us about turf. But I do believe that most of the time our winterization, you want a really high nitrogen for okay. Your fertilization, which is that first number in the mix. You want a high first number. And then I think we're still a little bit too early for doing our winterization. And in fact, I am having Kevin. Kevin was on with me like a month ago from Spectrum Lawn Care. He's going to be on in a couple of weeks. I think it's the first weekend of November to talk about winterizing our lawns and what all we need to do there and what is the best fertilizer and all of that stuff. But I do believe that you want that higher first number on that. So, but you could also call Glenn at GR Robinson Seed. He's great with these kinds of questions and would probably love to take your call and tell you what you need to put down this winter. So, so that's what I would do is call somebody else. I do think that that's what you need to do. But you can either listen in a couple weeks or give Glenn a call and you'll get your answers. And hopefully we'll have Glenn back here soon, because what a great wealth of knowledge he is for us.
Okay, great. And second and last quick question is I planted a couple young trees about a month ago. And I do have an irrigation system, and of course, with the dry weather, I've been using it a lot to keep the grass growing. So the trees have been getting watered that way too. I know this is a hard question, but do you suppose I need to water each tree on top of the irrigation system? Water?
This is always a great question. Irrigation is has recently been the bane of my existence at work. It's just been a constant struggle this season to keep everything watered. It's just been back and forth. But so a lot of times we do have our rotors, our turf heads that are watering our trees. And typically we get too much water this way. Our turf needs a lot of water in order for it to stay healthy. And our trees typically don't need as much water, or they just don't dry out as fast. You know, like our grass is only on the first, couple of inches of the surface. So it dries out really quickly. And our trees are, you know, in the first 12 to 18 inches, and they have a really long, wide root system. So our newer trees definitely need more water. But most likely if they're getting watered with your turf, you're doing it, you know, 3 or 4 days a week during the heat of the summer. And most of the time our trees don't need to even be watered that much. So it could even be that you're watering too much with your lawn sprinkler head. So that's often what we're seeing. So typically it's not the reverse of that. We don't typically need to water our plants or our trees more if they're in a turf zone in the irrigation.
Okay, great. Well, listen, I appreciate it. You're doing a great job. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. All right, we're going to take one more caller, I think, before we take our last break. We're going to go to Philip. Philip, you are on the line. Go ahead with your question.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I was listening to the previous caller, and he was talking about turf, so I won't ask that question.
Well, I can try.
I moved here from Virginia, and I don't seem to be able to get grass to grow. It's just an issue. But my main question is, I have five hostas in my little garden. Mm-hmm. And when do I tend to them, cut them back or anything like that? Or do I just let them die off and grow back the next year?
Yeah, this is a good question with your hosta. Sorry about your grass. But if you do listen in a couple of weeks, I do have Kevin coming on, so you could call back and ask Kevin tell him all of your grass woes, and he will love to talk to you about them. But as far as your hostas go, I like to wait till they melt away. They're going to get hit by that first frost, and then they're going to kind of naturally go dormant. They'll kind of, like I said, melt away. They'll turn yellow. And then at that point, they're just super easy to clean up. You know, I don't always, you know, I like to leave as many perennials up over the winter and grasses as I can. But things mm-hmm. that melt away like hosta is something that I like to get out of there, clean that up. So as soon as that frost hits, you'll notice you'll go out and they'll be bright yellow and kind of slumped over on the ground. You can wait till they go really dormant and get kind of it's really easy to pull if you wait a while, then you don't even have to cut them. You can just basically pick them up with your hand or rake them over. So you don't have to do it right away. You can let them, you know, go as, you know, yellow and then even turning brown. Or, you know, some people, if they're an established hosta, some people, as soon as they start turning yellow, they don't want to see it and they go ahead and cut them back. But horticulturally, it is best for them to go dormant before you clean them up.
Because some of the leaves are turning yellow now.
Yep.
Not all of them, but yep. Some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I went online and there's several different, I'd rather get the word from you,
sure.
from the garden hotline yeah. than online. And I appreciate your time, your information, and I will call back in a couple of weeks and get those lawns.
I'm writing this down. Philip is calling back. If I don't hear from you when Kevin is here, I'm going to call you out. And
okay.
I'm going to ask
call
you to call
out.
In. All right.
And,
thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck with your hosta. We'll talk to you in a few
thank
weeks.
You.
All right,
yes,
guys.
Ma'am.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. If you guys want to take or call in, you might be too late. I have several people on the line waiting. But I will give the number anyway, 314-436-7900. We have one more segment left. We have four people on the line. I'm going to try to get to all of you and maybe one more text question. This is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. The Garden Hotline. We just have a few minutes left. Hopefully we'll get to your call. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I'm your host and the Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape. We're going to just be quick. We're going to go straight to the phone lines. Mary, thanks for your patience. Go ahead with your call.
Yeah, I have three crepe myrtles, and they're basically planted in the same area. But because it's been so dry, whatever, I haven't really mowed the lawn much. And some grasses and stuff have grown up kind of close to the plant. So I thought, well, I should probably mow, you know, among those plants there. And then I was going to put mulch down. I'm not sure I have mulch. I'm going to have to go get mulch. But it seemed like I heard you say you could also use like a composted type soil as a mulch also.
Yeah. So mulch is, you know, one of the things I like to use instead of, you know, your typical bagged bark mulch. There are two options. You could just use compost. There are, you know, some that are called black gold compost. There's one out at St. Louis Composting. They have a mulch. It's called Black Forest mulch. Uh-huh. It's really a great product. It's kind of a mixture of compost and leaf mulch, but you could also just use a leaf mulch as well, just to get that covered. But you don't necessarily have to use a bark mulch. You can use just composted soil or any of those other options that I mentioned for sure. And in fact, that's better for most plants.
Okay, I could give that a try. And I have a pretty good quality potting soil, but it's a little heavier. You know, I have a lot of that left this year, so if I can use that, I'd rather do that.
Yeah, potting soil isn't always a great for mulch. It's got a lot, especially if it has a lot of additives and things like that. You could, you know, potentially mix that into the soil, but potting soil isn't always super great for a mulch option.
Okay, and have you ever heard of using pine needles around a plant for mulch?
For sure. A lot of people do that. You know, they say that those are really good for our acid loving plants like azaleas and things like that. But a lot of people, you know, use those. And when we have pine trees and they drop into beds below, a lot of times we just leave those as the mulch. So also a great option.
Would that be okay for crepe myrtles?
Crepe myrtles, I don't think they really want an acidic soil. I don't think it will hurt it. It's typically not like a lot of change. So okay. It shouldn't hurt them for sure.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah, good luck. Thank you. All right, up next we have Maria. Maria, go ahead with your question.
Hi, I have a suggestion about banana trees. What I do is I cut the leaves off, layer them, and then when I cut the trunk off, put that on the top to secure the leaves, and it works out really well.
Oh, that's cool. So you're cutting off the leaves and you're using that debris to kind of help protect things.
Correct.
So does that get like a little like kind of slimy or break down over the winter? What's that like when you pull all that back? Does it just decompose under there?
It doesn't. It doesn't really. It doesn't get slimy. Sometimes the trunks get a little slimy that I use to hold it down. But the leaves just kind of stay the same.
You know, that's the technical term for it. Slimy.
Yeah. And I've been doing this for about 15 years without any problems.
You know, I think there are like two kinds of people in this world. There are people who grow banana trees and then there are people who don't. But everybody that grows banana trees seem like they're just like really into them. I'm going to like really have to break down and get one maybe next season and try these guys out. They're pretty cool, but I appreciate the tip. That's a great one. I have never heard that, but it sounds like a smart idea. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I enjoy your show. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too. Up next, we're going to go to Glenn. Glenn, thanks for your patience. What's your question?
Good morning, Michelle. I have a hedge, and it has needles on it. You know, it's a common thing. And I had it in the ground for a lot of years, over 20 years. And the it's getting very tall. And I'm wondering if the fall would be the best time to trim about 3 or 4 inches off of the top of that plant to have it where I could still see out off the porch from it. And would the fall be the best time to do it, to cut them off, or in the spring when the new growth starts, please?
Yeah, that's a great question. I can hear the radio in the background. So if you could turn that down so we can hear a little better, that'd be great. But yeah, so most of the time with our pruning, I like to not do a ton of pruning right now in the fall, but you certainly can do it before the spring growth comes. So wait until everything goes dormant and then you can do a little bit of pruning. But right now we're focused on all that energy going down into the roots to store for energy for the winter, to get through the winter months. And then you can prune it as soon as it goes dormant, or even better, waiting until late winter, early spring before it starts leafing out. Good luck to you with that. I hope that goes well. All right, we got one more call. We have to be super quick, Susie. We only have a couple seconds. What's your question?
A rain chain.
A rain, what's the question?
A rain chain. I have a bay window, and I need to redirect the rain. And uh-huh. It's a chain that you hook onto the end of the downspout and put it in where you want the water to go. It's called a rain chain.
Right. Uh-huh.
I'm looking for one.
Oh, you're looking for one.
Oh, my God, yes. I've called all
so
over.
So try OK Hatchery in Kirkwood. They have all kinds of cool stuff. If you haven't
okay,
been there.
I know OK Hatchery.
Have you called?
But I have one more question.
Sure.
If you're quick, I can try. I have a really tall 10-foot fiddle leaf fig, and I want to know how to make it shorter.
Just cut it back. Find a node and cut it back. Super easy. Won't hurt it at all. So, but thanks for your question, and thanks everybody for listening today. It's been the Garden Hotline. If you need to get a hold of me, you can look me up at pointerlandscape.com or on Facebook, Instagram at STL Plant Nerd. Again, thanks everybody for your calls. Thanks for listening. This is the Garden Hotline on KMOX 104.1, the voice of St. Louis.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.